Good morning. This is August 11th. We're studying The Art of Spiritual Healing by Joel Goldsmith. We're on part four of the book, Spiritual Healing Without Words or Thoughts. And we're on chapter 15, Beyond Words and Thoughts. Although, to me, it seemed as if this chapter should have been named something else. It doesn't directly come out and say, don't use words and thoughts. It does say, don't rely on your intellect. But anyway, it hints at not using words and thoughts. Okay, take a moment, become still inside, center down, get peaceful, open that inner ear so that you may hear what you need to hear. And let us begin. Through study, meditation, living with the letter of truth, and constant practice, the principles of spiritual healing become established in your consciousness. From a material sense of life to the attainment of that mind which was in Christ Jesus is the healing consciousness. Being spiritually minded does not mean resting in an intellectual knowledge of these principles. It does not mean making affirmations and denials, or using mental powers, or human wisdom. The Spirit of God that is generated in us, or that we feel, which we have either brought with us to this earth experience as a divine gift, or have attained through the cultivation of it, is that which does the healing. So it's the Spirit of God that does the healing. A book such as this is merely an agency to help you develop a conscious awareness of that Spirit of God. So the whole secret is your perceiving, your conscious awareness of the Spirit of God in you. It is difficult, it says, for many metaphysicians to believe that all the truth they know and all the truth they study does not bring God into their experience, nor does it give them guidance, health, or strength. The average student really believes that reading books, going to classes, somehow sets them apart in God's eyes. It is better, of course, to do these things, but spiritual truth becomes a law of God in our experience only in proportion to our realization of it. Never forget that there must first be the acknowledgement, then must come the realization. And of course, he has realization up there in italics, so it's important. You can have lots and lots of acknowledgement. Yes, God is my supply. I understand. God is my supply, but, or however, if you don't have the realization of it, you don't have it. You don't have the principle until you realize the principle. Well, how do you do that? What's the difference? Understanding and realization. What is the difference? Well, like I said, if you understand something, you say, yes, I get it. God is all supply. Has to be, because God is all. But I'm going to somehow pay these bills, and there's not enough. So I'll jump in and I'll go to one of those places that gives you a loan on your car, and I'll get money to pay the unexpected bill, and then when my paycheck comes, I'll pay off that loan, and then I'll get groceries, and so on and so forth. It's a juggling act. That's when I have the understanding only. Okay, yes, God is supply. But when I have a realization, I may be sitting in meditation. Supply, supply, God is supply. And I rest in that. And suddenly, I catch a glimpse. Oh, oh, God is invisible supply. And I must allow it to escape. Yes, I've been hearing for years. I must allow the imprisoned splendor to escape. And I've been in agreement with that. But I thought I was supposed to pour out my supply. And that has limits, of course, because it's human. No, I'm supposed to pour out God's supply, which is within. And so all infinite, invisible supply is within. Now, Father, pour that out. And I go within and I rest there. I have just had a realization of infinite, invisible God supply. And when you have a realization, you have demonstration. It's automatic. I go to the post office, I pull out a letter, and in it is a $600 donation. And it comes at exactly the right time that something came due that I wasn't expecting. This is evidence of invisible spirit supply appearing. So I pay the bill, I let it flow through, and I give a little away. And I know God is my infinite, invisible supply. But I know it now. I don't just agree with it. I don't just understand it. I have had that inner realization of it. I have witnessed it flow out and appear as my need fulfilled. and I have consciously poured it out. See, that's quite a difference, isn't it? So, he says, we may study truth for a year and have a realization on some specific point. And then on that particular point, we can rest in God government. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. But the glass darkly does not immediately disappear. Although with each point of realization, the glass becomes lighter and lighter, until in the end, it becomes a perfect transparency, and we see God face to face. For example, many of us on this path have had the experience of catching a glimpse of God as life. At first, we may only repeat that as words, intellectually agreeing to its truth. Eventually, however, a point of transition comes and we realize it. God is life. My limited human sense of life is now gone. There is no longer a need to demonstrate health. There is no longer age, and therefore, there is no youth to demonstrate. My life is not mine. My life is God's, you see? You see, you may have been trying to demonstrate life. And in your meditation and in your struggle, you suddenly relaxed and realized, wait, God is life. When that happens, you don't have to demonstrate anything. No, you don't demonstrate. You bear witness to God living itself. He says, the moment we can see that God is life, or that life is God, from then on, our physical condition begins to improve. That may not improve our supply, however, but one day we may have a similar experience with supply and catch the vision of supply as not something we can get, but as something already established within us. When that realization comes, there is no further need to demonstrate supply. If you have a realization of the infinite invisible as supply, God as life, and omnipresence as your companionship, if you have those three realizations, you don't need to demonstrate anything anymore, because you're living in the realization of the kingdom of heaven here and now. You are never alone. You have companionship. You are never limited or lacking. You have supply. You are supply. You are never ill or without health, because God is life, your life. And so you're living, moving, and having your being in the conscious awareness of the living God. And it's wonderful. It's heaven here, heaven now, heaven forever. All the truth that you read is only true in proportion to your realization of it. We may have beautiful demonstrations through the spiritually illumined, that is, through your teacher or practitioner. But we are only borrowing their oil and benefiting by their state of consciousness. That is legitimate for a new or young student, and it is effective up to a certain point. But if we do not awaken and ourselves become spiritually illumined, that is, if we just rest on understanding these principles and don't have inner realizations, we shall be among those who will be saying 20 years from now that at one time we had wonderful demonstrations, but it does not happen to us anymore. Truth is infinite, but demonstrated truth is only in proportion to the effort, the devotion, the love, the labor, and the sacrifice that we put into attaining the realization of it. It takes effort. It takes work. All right, so if you don't want only the understanding of truth, if you want the realization of it, it's going to take effort, devotion, love, labor, and sacrifice, and work. The person who does not love it, and the person who does not labor with his love, will not draw out any more than the little time, work, effort, or money he has put into it. Studying, reading, meditating, pondering, hearing, these are all steps which ultimately lead us to realization. No amount of truth that we can know about God or man is going to solve a problem or heal a disease. All it will do is to quiet us until we can get into a peaceful atmosphere and really feel ourselves floating in God. It is a peace that is an aliveness, a tingling. It is the peace that passes understanding. It is an alertness, and yet it is peaceful and quiet. Here is the definition in one paragraph of inner realization. It is when we are in this absolute quiet, something happens, something which bursts the bubble, and when we emerge from it within minutes, hours, or days, we find that our problem has dissolved. So I would submit to you that when you have an understanding of these principles only, then your problem does not dissolve. You understand your problem, you understand the principle, but it's not working. But when something happens within you which bursts the bubble, oh, I see, and you open your eyes and within minutes, hours, or days, your problem is dissolved, you can bank 100% you have had an inner realization. He says, your problem has dissolved because the problem, whatever its name or nature, was a mentally created image based on a material sense of life. Now you have a material sense of life. My name is Bill Skiles. I live in Robbinsville, North Carolina. I'm 70 years old. I'm sitting in this chair right now, and I am looking at my computer. I'm a little bit thirsty because I've been talking for a while, and I'm a little bit hungry because I didn't eat breakfast yet. All of that is a material sense of life. And that's where the mentally created images come from. I have an image of my body, how big it is, how small it is, how young or old it is. I have an image of my room here, of where I keep my computer. I have an image of my cat over on the bed there. I have an image of, well, you get the idea. The images spring forth from a material sense of life. But in your meditation, in my meditation, as I dwell on God is life, life is God, God is omnipresence, life is omnipresence, God is eternal, life is eternal. My life is omnipresent, eternal, invisible presence. Now from that aha springs forth energy, life, living, loving, vitality. So I'm either living in realization, or I'm living in mental images, right? One is the law and one is grace. And so he says the law is for those who live humanly. Grace is for those who live spiritually. Then we shall find that a transition takes place in our lives. Then we shall no more be guilty of trying to demonstrate supply than we would be of stealing it. Because we would understand that to attempt to demonstrate supply would be merely trying to take it out of the world of effect. And never again will we seek anything that is already in the world of effect. So, if you are trying to demonstrate supply, that's really a sin, isn't it? Because it's missing the mark. Here I have all that the Father has. Infinite, invisible, eternal supply. The infinite, invisible presence is my supply. So then why would I try to demonstrate people, places, and things? That's not supply. Those are mental images. demonstrate God, demonstrate the infinite invisible. And all of these people, places, and things shall be added unto you. It's really true. Demonstrate God. We shall be satisfied to have our good come to us out of the infinite invisible. We shall be satisfied to be patient and wait until we can demonstrate the presence of God. Yes, demonstrate God. Wait until we can demonstrate the presence of God, knowing that the realization of that presence is fulfillment. But it must be realization. This is fulfillment. And this fulfillment manifests not out of what already is, but out of what the Father sends forth from within us. Even though it will appear in some human or material form in the without. Now that sounds like we're playing with words. Well, now you see me, now you don't. You're standing up and sitting down at the same time. You're not to demonstrate supply, and yet, when you demonstrate the Father, a supply will be added. It's kind of a delicate dance that we're doing. No, we're not demonstrating supply. We're not demonstrating companions. We're not demonstrating health. We are demonstrating the presence of God, and we're resting in that realization of the presence. And resting in that realization in a way ye know not of, in some almost magical, mystical way, the presence knows your need before you do and appears as fulfillment. What is the difference? Well, when you try to do it yourself and you go out there and you take a second job and you wrestle your life so that you can manifest enough, it may work. You may have more than enough. But you're tired all the time. You can't get to the classes or meetings or whatever it is you go to keep spiritually fit. And you begin to slip. Maybe you're barking at people that you normally wouldn't. You're forcing this thing. You're living by the law, not by grace. When you do it the other way, you rest back in an inner realization of the presence. It quietly, secretly, sacredly begins to form itself as your outer experience. And suddenly you're given, well, maybe you're given a raise. Maybe you're given an alternative source of income that you didn't know was available. In one way or another, your need is fulfilled. And it's fulfilled gently. And you're okay. You're relaxed. You're able to continue to go to your classes, you're able to keep your fulfillment. So the difference is, when it's forced, it takes effort, it takes pushing. When it's grace, you just slide into it, almost effortless, except for the effort that you use within yourself to get quiet and to become effortless. Let us ask only that God give Himself to us, blessing us with His grace. This is asking, knocking, and receiving. This is the only legitimate desire. Father, give me Yourself. Reveal Thyself. Fulfill Thyself. I bear witness to You. When the Master was hungered and was tempted to demonstrate food, His response was, "Oh no, get thee behind me, Satan. I will make no personal demonstration." That's absolutely wonderful. That's the secret. You are to make no personal demonstration. Not for yourself, not for someone else. No personal demonstration. No, your demonstration must be impersonal. Impersonal. Infinite, invisible. Impersonal presence. In resisting the temptation to demonstrate things, the Master proved that He was above the law of mind and matter. So if you're trying to demonstrate something personally, you're living in law and matter. But if you're trying to demonstrate the presence impersonally, you are living in grace and spirit. In resisting the temptation, let's try this again. So, in resisting the temptation to demonstrate things, He proved that He was above the law of mind and matter. He had entered the realm of pure spirit, the kingdom of God, in which it is Your Father's good pleasure to give You the kingdom. Not to give us a method of getting the kingdom, but to give us the kingdom. Again, remember, God shines through you. You must come into the realization that God is flowing, God is shining, God is living, God is being. And this includes life, love, and supply. When we meet with any physical or mental law or problem, we should return to the principle and wipe it out with the understanding that it is not power, because God is the only power. Yes, that presence that you feel is the only power. None of these mental images are power. Now, he says, God never gives his talent to anybody. God maintains his talent within himself and expresses it freely and joyously through us. But it always remains God's talent. Yes, my friends, which includes all of you, is God appearing as companionship. My supply, which includes my home, my automobile, my bank accounts, but more especially the infinite invisible, which flows through and which I pour out. That is God's supply. My life, which I am living, this is God's life, God's companionship, and so it is God's companionship, God's life, God's supply, flowing if I don't stop it. Those who know this never run dry. They never run out of inspiration because the inspiration is never theirs. It is God's, and they are but the instrument through which it appears on earth. We are under the law and are suffering because we believe that we are creators, instead of realizing there is only one creator. This sense of dual creation has its basis in the ego, which some have called easing God out. Now, what does this mean? We think we are creators. Well, you can see it in your meditation. If not now, then when you were beginning. You take a subject like this, God's grace is my sufficiency, and instead of working toward attaining the inner realization of the principle, grace is my sufficiency, the infinite invisible is my sufficiency, instead of working to have an inner realization, we try to create it. We walk around all day, thy grace is my sufficiency, thy grace is my sufficiency, thy grace is my sufficiency, and maybe we try 300 times a day saying that within ourselves. We're trying to create it instead of having an inner realization and resting in it. You see the difference? However, he says, when all claims to being a creator are relinquished, and when it is realized that all things that are manifested and do appear are made from things which are not seen, from the invisible, then are we living in the invisible realm. All things that are made, all things, including our body, will be harmonious. Well, if you want to call that a formula, but the formula here claims internal action. you know, action is the magic word, but action is not something you do out here. What you do out here is activity. My first teacher told me action is the magic word, but action is internal. And here is an action for you to take. Relinquishing all claims of being a creator. Nothing I do is going to bring this about. Nothing I do is going to bring about a healing. I of myself am nothing. And then realize all things that are manifest are made from things which are not seen. So there's a surrender and a realization. Then we are living in the invisible realm. And everything, all things, including our body, will be harmonious. Why? Because we will be manifesting that invisible realm, not a mental image. This is very subtle. Very subtle. So the action within you is something that is oh so silent, oh so quiet, oh so subtle, so sacred. He says, watch the miracle that comes into your lives when you stop defending yourself against shadows on the wall, against nothingness. That's what these mental images are. Nothingness. When we stop fighting the errors of the world, the tyrants, and the powers of the world, no matter how big or how strong it seems to be, it's only the arm of flesh or nothingness. The battle is not yours, but God's. And so stand ye still. Do not affirm, do not deny, sit still, become peaceful, and wait for the Word of God to come. And when it comes, it will be strong and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. So there again is a formula. You go within. You recognize these mental images, no matter how powerful they appear. This government, no matter how powerful it appears, is a mental image projected by a personal sense of self. And it's a nothingness. All these mental images are nothingness. And then stand still. There's one power. You don't affirm, don't deny, you sit still. And you become peaceful. You wait for the Word of God to come. As many as received him, to them gave he power. You wait for the Word of God to come. And when it comes, it will be sharper than a two-edged sword. By living these principles within, we become witnesses to the miracle of grace. Grace is what functions when you stop. Therefore, let us take certain principles and begin to live them now. let us begin with the very important principle of one power. God is the only power. Therefore, I shall not fear what mortal man can do to me. I shall not fear germs, infection, or contagion. Nor shall I fear the governments of men. Only one thing is power, the infinite, invisible. If we can hold to that, our way will be made harmonious. Now, the fact that we may fall down once in a while is nothing of which to be ashamed or to fear. Everybody in the world has had moments when the temptations of the world have crept in and convinced him that there were powers outside his own being. If it should happen to us in one form or another, let us recognize it is temptation. Pick ourselves up and start over again, standing on the truth of God as the one and only power, and continue in a state of receptivity, letting God reveal itself in us and through us. Satisfied that if we are evidencing some measure of God in our experience, we are doing well. Every time we engage in any healing activity, we are acknowledging that of ourselves we can do nothing, but that the allness and the fullness and completeness of the Father can pour through us and raise the dead and heal the sick and feed the hungry. Yes, when you indulge in healing work, immediately you must know, oh, it's the activity of spirit. It's the action of spirit that heals things, not anything I know. And so you're acknowledging that of yourself you can do nothing. But you're also acknowledging, I can bear witness to this spirit as it moves across the face of the deep. I of mine own self am nothing. But because I and the Father are one, the allness and the fullness of the Father is made manifest through me and as me. Therefore, wherever I go, the glory of God goes before me to shine, to make its presence felt. I had a dream one time that showed me this principle crystal clear. Now, in the dream, a spiritual man that I loved and knew was giving a talk up on stage to this audience that I was sitting in. And suddenly he invited me up on stage with him. So I got up and walked up there. And when I got on stage, everybody was cheering and clapping and bowing down. And I felt very uncomfortable. Very, very uncomfortable. But they didn't stop. They kept bowing. And I said inside myself, this isn't right. And everybody stopped. You remember those old commercials when E.F. Hutton speaks and everybody would stop? Well, that's what happened. They're clapping and cheering and bowing down and they stopped. Look my way. But then this tiny voice within me said, silly, they're not bowing down to you. They're bowing down to this presence in you. And I had the feeling, oh, that's okay. And everybody went back to cheering and clapping and bowing down. And then I woke up in my bed. I have dreams that definitely teach me principles. And this was one of them. As we maintain that emptiness of self, always beginning our day with that realization, we shall soon see that even the flowers will bloom in our presence, because our presence will be a continuous state of benediction, even to those who do not know who we are, or what we are, or why. Now, you do, and I did up on that stage. Oh, this is that invisible presence. That's what they're worshiping, not you. So, I let them. Nothing wrong with that. I let them worship that invisible presence, and it was okay. Now, I do not see why this chapter was called Beyond Words and Thoughts. I have the book Beyond Words and Thoughts, and it is a lot more direct on that subject. I think this one should have been called something like Acknowledging versus Realization or something. Because that's really what the chapter had to do with. It's not enough to stop with acknowledging. You must move into realization of this invisible spiritual presence. And when you do that, you know it can operate through you. It can heal through you. It can raise the dead through you. It can love through you. It can supply through you. It can live through you. So we're marching toward an inner realization that the presence lives my life. We're working and walking towards I live, yet not I. The invisible presence, Christ, liveth my life. I'm just going to be still. Because it feels right. This day, I will be glad. I will stand still and bear witness. Grace liveth my life. It's not necessary that I plan. It's not necessary that I plot. It's not necessary that I try to demonstrate a personal goal. I have no more personal demonstrations. I bear witness to grace. I bear witness to the infinite invisible. I bear witness to the hidden manna. I bear witness to Christ. Christ liveth my life. Okay. Thank you, everyone, for pulling this message out. The chapter seemed a little short to me, but it's lasted okay. Thank you, everyone, for your help, for your consciousness, for your love, for your supply, for your life, giving these messages life. God bless, and thank you again. Peace. I leave with you.